There is a concept in traditional Christianity that Jesus Christ is the merciful and loving Son of God who must intrigue the Father on our behalf so that he is less angry with us. Some even claim that, quote-unquote, Mother Mary goes to Christ first to intervene for us, who then, listening to his mother, goes to the Father to plead our case and ask for the Father's compassion. There's another concept in traditional Christianity that the Father was the angry God of the Old Testament who did terrible things to the people, but that Christ, the innocent Lamb, is our loving mediator to ask the Father to show love to us. Well, I want to begin with turning to a scripture in the book of John. John chapter 18, verses 26 and 27. John chapter 16 and verse 26, and here are Christ's words. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So as we can see, Christ doesn't intervene on our behalf by pointing out that you, Father, are not loving your people and you need to have more love for them. That's not the reason why Christ is intervening. He's intervening by pointing out how difficult it is for us at times to overcome. Because you see, he lived as a man, and he knows it. He knows our trials. He doesn't intervene in front of the Father to stir up his love towards us, which otherwise he wouldn't have. And let me also point out that it was Jesus Christ, not the Father, who was a God of the Old Testament. You can read this later, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that it was Christ, the rock, who followed the Israelites, who brought them out of Egypt. And we also read that later it was the Israelites tempting Christ when he brought those poisonous snakes to kill them. What else does this mean? It means that he was the one who destroyed all the people and animals in the flood. It means that he, Jesus Christ, was the one who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Jesus Christ, he was the one who brought the 10 plagues over Egypt and who then drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea. He was the one who was determined when they built the golden calf to kill all the Israelites and to start all over again with Moses. It was he, Jesus Christ, who in his righteous anger prevented the Israelites from entering the promised land. So Jesus Christ, as a God of the Old Testament, was angry with his people. And he said, I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. And read that in the book of Hebrews. He was the one who led the houses of Israel and Judah into captivity. Do I need to go on? As God, who had righteous anger, he was the one who created man, so he had the right to take the life once he felt necessary to do so. Now, when he was here on earth as a human being, he lived peacefully, and he showed us how we are to live. Don't take up the sword. Don't avenge yourself. But as a glorified God being, which he was prior to him becoming a man, and which he became again after his resurrection, he was again the God of the Old Testament. He was the same he was before as he is now, because he doesn't change. He is the same today, yesterday, forever. He is not a cruel being, but he is just. He is fair. He is righteous. We read that he, as the Son of God, will rule the world with a rod of iron. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and he will, with the breath of his lips, slay the wicked. You can read this later in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. He will defeat the armies who come to fight against him at Jerusalem. And let us read together in Zechariah chapter 14 what is going to happen. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord, Jesus Christ, will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. A terrible plague he is willing to use in order to drive home a lesson. Both the Father and Jesus Christ as God beings are and always will be and always were totally unified in character, in will, in goal. And so will we be when we are God beings in the family of God. Notice this in Psalm 149. Yes, as human beings, we are not supposed to avenge ourselves. As human beings, we are not supposed to pass condemnation on others. But notice what we read in Psalm 149, once we are God beings. 149 and beginning in verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. The idea that it is the Father who is angry and Jesus Christ, the Son, who is his person who can never be angry with the people is totally and completely wrong. When the Father is angry, Christ is angry, and vice versa. Notice this in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, the Father, and from the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath has come, both of the Father and of Christ, and who is able to stand? God is very angry with the people of this world. There's a warning in the Old Testament. For those who want to be free, to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, who have left, who are leaving the body of Christ. Now, note carefully what I'm saying. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about not just a particular organization, but those who are in the body of Christ, who have God's Holy Spirit. When they leave that body of Christ, it's going to be a terrible decision. Notice in the book of Psalm, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And here at first, he is describing the rulers of this world. They want to be free. They don't want to have anything to do with what God has to tell them. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, in this case God the Father, and against his anointed, Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We don't want to be in bondage to God, to his law. We want to be free. We want to do what we want to do. He who sits on the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. And then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. And then note verse 11, the admonition. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. In other words, be subject to him, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Notice the consequence of not being subject to God. They are going to perish in the way. Leaving God, both the Father and the Son will bring only headache, pain, and deep feeling of emptiness inside, coupled with a guilty conscience, which one tries to suppress. We read in 1 Timothy that they are searing their conscience with a hot iron. See, they want to suppress it. They don't want to accept the fact that they have an evil conscience, and they should. And they try everything they possibly can to justify their doing. Famous millionaire at the time, a billionaire probably by now, John Paul Getty, Mr. Armstrong used to quote him numerous times. He was extremely rich, but he was also married several times. And he said, well, I would give all my riches for one happy marriage. He was deeply dissatisfied with his life. He was empty. There was nothing to look forward to. Notice the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, yes, it might for a while enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, but it's passing. It doesn't have any continuity. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24. This is what God is telling us. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Then it will be too late. The warning is, don't let that happen. We read in the book of Galatians, not to be fooled, not to be mocked, not to be deceived. When we sow on the flesh, then we will reap from the flesh destruction, corruption. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is not cruel. He wants our best. But if we leave him, he will leave us. And when he leaves us, all the blessings he has given us, which we sometimes don't even recognize, he will also take away from us. And then we can look at our lives and say, well, I really was blessed before, but not anymore. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, let's start reading in verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So what is going to happen now is inspired by God. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. As long as we are with God, God is with us. And then we can count on his blessings. We can count on his protection. We can count on his lead. But he goes on to say, if you seek him, yes, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That is the warning, a warning which we must never take lightly. And Proverbs 1, verse 31, again, you may look at this later, goes on to tell us, when that happens, we will eat the fruit of our own way, the way we want it to go. I want to do what I want to do. Yeah, we will eat the fruit, and it's not going to be a good one. Rather than going back into the world, let's stay out of it. Because this world may be destroyed very soon. And I mean very soon. And where will we be then? If we don't have God's protection. Let's read in conclusion Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, because that's what's going to happen, and lest you receive of her plagues, and that's what's going to happen as a consequence. Let's not make that mistake ever.